listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
See this coming?
No. You're not gonna see this coming.
We have had your test results. May I be blunt with you?
No.
Right. Well, everything is fine. You're not gonna die.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. Right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show, August 11th, 2007. It's another hot-as-hell day in Hades, for Christ's sakes. I can't take any more of this.
Hot-as-hell in Hades?
Yes, exactly, Bill. Now, to my left here, we have Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
Just fine.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Great.
Well, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, Vanessa couldn't join us again. Her daughter is in gymnastics. It's taken up most of her summer, but we'll possibly see her next week.
That's a lie.
But immediately, I want to get into something. Now, I was talking about how hot the weather is, right, Steven?
Excruciating.
It's excruciatingly hot. Now, last week during the show, if anyone gets through the entire show, if they listen all the way to the end, you all of a sudden disappear, Steven.
I got real sick.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I pretty much said, Steven's in the bathroom, sorry about that. But really, I wasn't telling the truth because it was really dramatic. And basically, you were feeling really just like...
I went home and I pretty much just... I climbed in bed and I...
Well, I'm even talking about when you were still here.
Well, I'm just saying, I got...
You were holding your head in pain. At one point during... I don't know if anyone...
You heard me breathing real hard.
There was a part...
I thought he was going to have an aneurysm.
During the news, Steven was on the floor.
I was laying
holding
down.
His head in agony.
Yeah, that was funny. I was like, Steven, why don't you lay down? I am.
And here's another thing. Steven, I guess we should make the announcement now. We're making a pilot for VH1, a reality show. Like, it follows us around... with video cameras where we do the show. And it's really exciting. But they actually
sell it of love.
It's actually I don't know what we're gonna call it yet, but Jason Hervey's helping us put it together. But anyway, what happened is it's part of our reel now for a pilot that we're gonna pitch to VH1. And Steven, on your way out, I just thought this was hilarious. You feel like crap, you've got to ride home on a motorcycle, and the producer's like, Steven, I need you to faint in the middle of the street. It would be awesome for the cameras. And you're like, what? Dude, I think I'm going to vom. And the guy is like telling you, come on, just do it. This would be great.
I'll vom in my helmet.
You get picked up on VH1, the likes of Scott Baio, Hulk Hogan, all that. So Steven is laying out in the street. I'm like, I can't believe that he's actually doing this. But hey, thanks, Steven, because it made
anything for the show.
The director actually showed me the reel of what happened, and they put it together beautifully. I think we might get picked up on VH1, so let's check it out. It's really dramatic. They had extras. They had people on the street come in looking at it. They taped off. Just let's check it out.
He got dizzy. He started to, you know, feel fatigued, his muscles, his body.
Snore, that's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
I was walking up the hill and I saw it was really an emergency. I mean, there were like ambulances and police cars, and I said, oh my God.
Good score there. Listen to that. The percussion. Yeah.
Prayers are with him right now.
Yeah, the prayers are with you, Steven.
Too bad he doesn't believe in God.
My ability.
But that was great, Steven. I'm glad you're okay, and hopefully our show gets picked up. If I never talk about this again, it's because we got shit canned. Nothing ever happened. So let's go ahead and pretty much assume that that's what's gonna happen.
But they're kind of like
nobody's gonna care who the PCZ Steven is.
Hey,
don't
bring up Land Squid. We know what happened to that. They stole our idea. We made a pitch to Sci-Fi. They said no, and then they made a friggin' movie about a giant squid with other people.
Calm down.
Okay,
calm
I'm
down.
Sorry. I'm just getting really.
It's in litigation.
It's We won't see a dime from that. But anyway, okay. This is a huge show, you guys. We're on Talk Radio X, and we thought, hey, let's pull out all the stops every week from now on. Let's have guests. Let's go insane. We're now a radio talk show. And we have a friend who's been on the show many times before. Some listeners would say too much. I'm just kidding. But we have here Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, and he's here to make an announcement about his show. And we're happy to have him. And another thing about Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, the voting for the podcast awards is over. And I don't know what the outcome is yet because we haven't heard who's won. But I would like to thank everyone in advance.
If he loses because of one vote, it's because of me because I got sick and
yes.
I couldn't vote one
Steven,
day.
Steven, you failed us. But no, seriously. Even if we don't win anything, seriously, I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to vote daily. And unfortunately, we will see nothing from that.
No laptop desk for us.
But hopefully we will.
Really needed that porn stand.
Foggy, you got him?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Andy from the Hollywood Saloon,
yay.
Everyone.
Hey, definitely big congratulations to you guys for being nominated. When I saw that you guys had made it, I was more excited than even seeing the saloon on there because, I don't know. Those things that they – I totally down with it. I loved it. We got the nomination again, and big thanks to our listeners for nominating us. Last year we got trounced by an anime podcast, so oh well.
Hey,
anime! Yeah.
But you got my vote every day this week, Andy. Except for Sunday, the day I was ill.
Yes, we went into battle, much like the Spartans went into battle with what are the other Greeks?
The nerds.
The nerds.
The Alpha Betas.
Yeah, but Andy, I'm very happy that we both, I mean, it just felt great, like brethren in podcasting were there, we were both nominated, and the best thing about this thing is it's the People's Choice podcast, so it's basically our listeners who enjoy our shows that nominated us.
No, yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Extremely cool. Was very, like I said, excited to be on there. The good thing about being on that list, really, is that it stays there all year long and gets, you know, quite a number of hits. So I think you're going to see your audience go up.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I'd even want to win is just to build our listenership, to get more listeners.
Well, even just being nominated to get our name out there.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, stop it, Steven.
Steven,
that's the humbleness, sorry.
Yeah, you're just, you know, playing it nice, playing it cool. Good cop, bad cop. That's what we're doing.
Oh, I'm just so honored to be amongst these other shows.
But Steven, you can't be like that.
When we win, I will thank God.
We have to remember what Conan says.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
No, hell yes, right?
That is good.
No, hell yes. The Hollywood Saloon, you guys, I'm trying to think. The last time you guys did a show was in May, is that right?
Stuff like that, it's insanity. I figured most of our listeners probably figured we just pod faded, you know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking, did the last thing was the Spider-Man 3 review? Maybe
we did one called Style. It's pretty lame.
Oh, was it the Film Grammar one?
Yeah,
Film Grammar. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Andy, so self-deprecating.
Yeah. Film Grammar. Wow.
Yeah.
So. Now, Andy, but you have such loyal listeners. Your listeners love the show, and I am jealous of your listeners. I'm envious of the they love you guys. They listen. They can't wait till each new episode. I mean, our listeners, they're like, oh, another episode? I haven't even listened to the last one yet. I guess I'll.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, I guess I need to fold my underwear. I'll put it on for a few minutes.
You know.
I'll listen to this 4-hour episode.
Yeah.
Losers.
With our show.
Exactly. Why can't they be 30 minutes like everyone else?
Yeah.
It's a 3-hour show on, you know, Film Grammar. Yes.
Well, you know what? Before we move on from this, back to the podcast awards for a second. I noticed that you're in a category, TV film, and one of your fellow nominees is Firefly Talk. It's a podcast about Firefly, a show that's been canceled since 2002, I think, or something.
Yeah. Unceremoniously canceled, just dropped.
And they even made a movie of it called Serenity. We all have seen the film. In fact, I love Firefly. I love
Firefly. I love Serenity. I wouldn't go that far.
Josh, I
thought Firefly was an incredibly innovative show. It had some really terrific episodes, but Serenity was such a lazy piece of shit.
Now, let me say something first, Bill. We enjoyed the movie at first, did you not?
Yeah, I totally did, and that was mainly because I loved the show so much. I was kind of on that high.
Was it
whoa, we got a movie?
The buzz wore off, and the cloudy, glassy look in your eyes went away, and now you're totally sober, and you're like, hey, wait a second, Mr. Universe, this guy who watches TV in space on a... What? How come the bad guy suddenly
does a
180 at the end?
Yeah, the bad guy's an assassin, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to be an assassin anymore.
He's like, you know what, let them go, it's cool. I saw the video, it's really upsetting, and all that stuff. So, okay. And another thing is they broadcast the signal through space. You can't stop the signal. I picture spaceships with, like, rabbit ear antennas picking up. Is that the way it works in space? I don't know.
YouTube was destroyed.
But here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to say it's a piece of shit. I enjoyed Serenity. I can't watch it again.
I can't watch it
multiple times like I can, say, Star Wars. But it's hard to replicate something like that. But what I'm saying is, does it warrant having a goddamn podcast still talking about the shit? That's all I'm saying.
Well, see, here's the deal that happened last year is that the other podcast about Firefly called The Signal was nominated for, like, Best Produced Show, and it was nominated in that same category we're in this year, and won everything hands down. And I think what they're doing is this year The Signal stepped aside and said, let's let Firefly Talk get in there. And I think, you know, it will not surprise me if they sweep everything they're nominated in. Because a lot of these brown coats, you know, they want to get out there and
been trying to get
a point.
You know, trying to get Firefly back.
That's the thing is, hey, more power to them. They love Firefly. But I listened to one of the shows, and he said, hey, guys, get out there. Make sure you write Universal, because the actors' contracts are about to expire that they signed where they could possibly make a Serenity 2. So you got to get your voice heard. And I was just like, let it go. It is not happening. Let it go. Even Joss Whedon is embarrassed. Like, oh, yeah, I really love the Brown Cuts. They're very supportive. Shut up. You know you're sick of this shit.
It's kind of good. Will you guys please stop? I'm trying to move on. Will you please move
on? Like, he couldn't concentrate on Wonder Woman because you wouldn't leave him alone. He finally just said, screw it.
Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, nothing against the podcast. I haven't listened to it that much. But I just... fan fiction doesn't interest me. I don't want to hear, you know, them talking about fan fiction. Let's make up stories about Firefly. You know?
Fan fiction is quite possibly the dumbest thing ever created.
Yeah. You know what's bad is I was looking on the... Well, bad in two ways. First of all, it was bad. I was looking at the Who Wants to Be a Superhero forums, message boards. But also, secondly, which was horrible, was that they are writing superhero fan fiction on...
Oh, man.
Contest.
Let's make up a story about Fat Mama.
You mean Hot Mama.
Fat Mama! Bill, no, don't you dare ever make that mistake again.
Hot Mama.
Fat Mama. Fat Mama. Uh-huh. I'm here to save the day.
All right, Andy, now I want you to... you're free to make any kind of Hollywood salute announcement, and hopefully it comes through clearly.
It's time to pimp the cast. Now, what we're doing, John and I put together something called Hell Week, and we really beat the shit out of ourselves trying to get some stuff done so that instead of offering nothing for the last 3 months, we're going to put out a show this week, all 5 days.
I must interrupt you for a second, Andy, and say that remind our listeners that Andy's on a one of those disposable cell phones at an Eckerd drugstore right now. So that's why the sound quality is like this.
He's running from the net.
Yeah. So let's go ahead, Andy.
I'm speaking into a cup. Yeah.
The wire. He's got a wire between two tin cans. He's talking
exactly.
Through.
Anyways, so what we're doing, and I think by the time this show comes out, what do you put this out on Tuesday usually?
Yeah.
We'll have one show out.
Ooh.
And then we're going to put out some... I mean, basically, at the end of the week, you're going to have, I don't know, a good 15 hours worth of complete shit to listen to. If you like listening to a couple of dudes incessantly talking about movies, well, you'll be peachy.
Hey, I'm there. So, I'm downloading, baby.
If you like what we offer, what we show out, then I think that hopefully by the end of the week, you'll get your fill. You'll get your fill so much to where you'll be like, stop!
Yes, thank
it's
you.
Too bad my connection's down. I won't be able to download.
Yeah, I'm used to your regular listenership, Bill.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, much like what happens in the biz, is you brought a clip with you to the show.
That's right, just like we're on Conan or something.
Yeah, would you like to set up the clip?
This is just a clip I pulled out from... DC versus Marvel Battle 3. We're going and we're cleaning up house and doing some shit we promised we'd do like a year and a half ago.
Awesome.
And here's just some little nugget I pulled out of there.
And this is you basically talking about the film Ghost Rider, right?
Ghost Rider a little bit, yeah.
All right, let's check it out. We'll be able to hear Andy clearly on this.
Best movie ever.
Like you said, with the rules that are set up, it's like he's the son of the devil... But the devil can't touch him on earth, and he says, because I haven't fallen yet. So what, then you're an angel? But you're still the son of the devil, so I start playing this whole thing in my head. Okay, so before Satan fell out of heaven, he had a son, right? But this son has come down to earth and is evil, and he hasn't fallen. But then later on, Ghost Rider says he's going to send him back to hell. And it's like, okay, confusing. And then all the rules as far as... You know, he can't touch his son. He has to get a human to turn into Ghost Rider as his bounty hunter to go and fight him. And then Johnny at the end, when the devil who gave him the power comes to take it away, he says, no, I'm going to keep it. And then And then basically the devil can't take it back away. Couldn't he just snap his fingers or do his nose like Genie and take the power away from Johnny Blaze?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the rule book. I have no idea.
The Ghost Rider rule book, exactly. It's kind of like I'm going to keep this curse so I can kick your ass. And then you see Peter Fonda, basically walk away going, "Curse you, Ghost Rider."
Maybe like when we went to go see Dune and they gave us a glossary, they just need to hand out the rule book for Ghost Rider before you see the movie.
I know.
So you at least know what's going on.
Rule number one, you cannot touch the son of the devil. Rule number two, if you're given a curse, you don't have to give it back.
Woohoo!
What?
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Nice, I can't wait.
Very funny.
Good stuff, Andy.
In fact, I think you've put more thought into Ghost Rider than anybody ever thought.
The screenwriters didn't put that much thought into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how do you think we fill up an hour and 45 minutes worth of a show? You really got to dig in there.
I'm tired after listening to that.
What the best thing about your show is, Andy, is, and I know you guys have talked about this, you acknowledge it, that you could play any of your episodes at any time of year, whereas we talk about current events or current shows where a week later, it's old news.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire about your show, and I should have thought of that to begin with. You do a show that I could listen to, your third show that you've ever done right now, and I wouldn't feel like, man, this is old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, wasn't your third show a review of Serenity? So maybe not.
I think they need to go back and re-review Serenity.
Yes.
No, well, I don't think I would change. I still like it a lot, so call me a sucker.
Like, it's on HBO HD constantly, and I even own the HD DVD. I can't watch it. It's like some movies you go, hey, anytime it's on, you'll watch it. Serenity's on. I watched for about 5 minutes of it and go, wow, this is really tiresome.
Seriously, no. Did Wash really need to die? Sorry for any spoilers, Steven.
No. Nope. Wait, I saw it with you in the theater.
Oh, wait. Every once in a while, I forget that Wash died, and I remember, and I kind of like just
get sad.
I get sad.
All over again.
I'm a leaf on the wind.
Yeah. I'm Forrest Gump.
Okay, guys, that's not all. That is not all. Andy's not our only guest, because you're like, is this it? We get Andy again? No! We also have... There's this guy who does a podcast called Captain Jolt, right? Or is it Captain Jolt Adventures, Bill? We'll ask Mick in a second. But Mick and his friend Credo, Jim Lewis, or as Eugene would say, Credo Bitch, they started doing a show called Lost in Mulberry, which was a, what would you say?
An homage.
A fan podcast.
An insane...
fan fiction? It sucks.
It is! It's fan fiction for Nowhere in Mulberry. Let's go ahead and welcome Mick McCart to the show. Mick McCart, how are you doing, sir?
Great, guys.
Mick McCart, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Yoda loves Ray.
Yes, he do, as they say. As who says... I think, I want Bill to come up with a t-shirt and go to a Star Wars convention that says Yoda loves Rafe.
I do love.
Now, Mick, tell everybody what you do. Tell us about Captain Jolt real quick.
Well, Captain Jolt is, we're up to about 9 listeners now, so I think we're pretty good.
Awesome.
It's basically... a comedy show about this guy who flies around space. His buddy's a psychotic killer, and he defecates a lot. So it's got a real broad base of fans.
Do you agree with me? Even if you don't have a lot of listeners, like I don't believe we do of this show, but as long as you have loyal listeners, that's what makes it awesome.
Yeah, that's it too.
Because we don't have a choice anyway, so we might as well embrace it, right? Yes, thank you.
Turn it positive.
Yes, we must turn it positive. Explain what Lost in Mulberry is, because obviously I can't explain what it is.
Yeah.
Well, basically, we started it out, I was listening to your show, and you were going on all these adventures in your early podcasts. And I really like that, you know. I really like the zombie killing and the Scientology bits. And,
do you appreciate the zombie killing?
I appreciate the zombie killing. So it's like, you know, I thought that was cool. I really liked the skit where he had Bill up on a, I think it was Bill up on the telephone pole and the black helicopter.
Appreciate the zombie killing.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Okay.
So I was like, man, I got to do something about that. And basically, Lost in Mulberry is like the Jeffersons to the All in the Family, you know. It's like you're the Archie Bunker of podcasts.
Nice. I like it. Well, thanks.
Can I be Meathead? I don't think you have a choice, Bill.
As long as you can, Bill, as long as you never direct that movie north, okay?
Oh, come on. I got to at least have one bad movie. But what I really like about that is Mick's talking about how we did that, and the way those things come about for us are so happenstance. Like, I had family visiting. Or was it family visiting or my connection was
you,
down?
You went to go visit family.
Now, what happened is you had no internet.
Yeah, I had no internet. So what I had to do was call on the phone, or you called me or something.
Yeah,
I
called you on the phone. And so you're out there, you're outside, I guess, talking on your telephone.
Yeah, I was. And it was just funny how we just kind of riffed on it for a few minutes, and that's how it came. We never write anything. Maybe we should.
Yeah, that'd be too creative, I think.
Yeah, too tiring.
It's a lot of fun once it's done and listen to it. Like, that's what I love about Lost in Mulberry, is you did a script and you gave us lines, and Steve and I are laughing as he does his lines and stuff. And then to listen to the finished product, it's a lot of fun.
If you listen during one part when Steven's fighting the Dianatives, you can actually hear you and him laughing in the background, because I put that in because he's so overjoyed with killing these Scientologists.
When I listen to Lost in Mulberry or I listen to Hollywood Saloon, I know what you guys have put into it, and I appreciate it all the more.
I'm not a big forum guy. I don't jump on your forums that much because I'm busy doing other stuff, but, man, I never miss the show. I mean, I love it when Andy's on. I mean, the whole thing's really great. So, you know, it's like, it's kind of cool to be on the show right now.
Well, thanks, Mick. I mean, I'm glad you're on the show. I think it's great to finally have you on. Why don't you, much like Andy did, he set up the clip to his show, set up episode 10 of Lost in Mulberry.
Well, if they want to go to lostinmulberry.com, they can listen to it there, or they can go to iTunes. It's on iTunes as well, and you guys usually play it. There's a variety of places to hear it. I mean, it's no Mission Man Band, but it's a good show.
Which is a brilliant show. Well, let's go ahead and set up episode 10, and just kind of, this is the first podcast, also the first Lost in Mulberry, where Steven is participated too, so just go ahead and set it up, and I'll play it.
Picking up from the last one, we're in the Space Temple of Doom. Carl Monday he just escaped in the Action News TARDIS. So we're trying to catch up to him. Mr. T jumped out the space window, rode the Eubolian ship down to the Dianetic volcano. And if you're following me, you are a true fan. So
there's a lot going on. Can we say that much? Because I don't even know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, we shift gears pretty fast.
All right, let's check it out. Go on without me, guys. I'm too messed up.
What's the matter?
The brain scrambler has me all dizzy. I'll just slow you down.
But don't worry, I'll fix you up. I'll take care of everything. I'll nurse you back to health.
You're barking at the wrong dog, Jethro.
We've got to find something to jumpstart the TARDIS. Only Carl Monday and Bubba Bothead made off with the main power source.
Those are legendary Shinkara stones, Mick. We could use them to power the TARDIS. Sweet! They fit perfectly into the power couplings.
Everyone get inside. I'll set the coordinates for the secret Dianetic volcano base of U-Bowl.
You really did kick some thuggy ass back air, Doc.
Yeah, I'm a regular Bruce Lee.
The coordinates are set. One alien soul volcano coming up.
Hey, look at the display. The coordinates keep fluctuating. I think something's wrong.
Those faint carousels are messing with the dilithium phase inverters in the TARDIS. Cross your fingers, guys. What is that?
It's Zuzhin Bat's homing beacon. He's beaming himself aboard.
Well, that's just wonderful. I thought we finally ditched this brown coat bucket of bolts.
Damn you, mulberry bullet! Hell! And I hope the zombies eat your butt.
Hey, look on the monitor. The space temple's going down in flames faster than a Bill Maher monologue at a Common Sense Festival.
Good one, Bill. Hey, the modulators are offline.
Don't worry, I can handle it.
That's not how you use a pipe wrench.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
I don't know, Doc. These coordinates are a bit off from what I said.
Well, guys, seems like we've landed where we've landed. Let's make the best of it.
Step back. I'll open the door.
It's a jungle out there.
Gee, isn't this a beautiful day?
Look, off in the distance. It's a volcano. Looks like it might be a couple days' journey. We better get moving.
What the hell was that?
Or sit too close to the microphone.
I'm sure it was nothing, guys. Let's get going or we'll never free Vanessa.
She's a swell-looking tomato.
I hate this whole situation.
We've been hiding for hours. Let's stop and rest for a minute. There it is again. But this time I swear I saw a camouflaged figure in the brush.
I'll scout ahead and investigate. You guys wait here.
Oh, man. My different sized feet are killing me. Hey, Jason, what's that you're reading?
It's a book of philosophy, art, and wisdom, composed by the writers of Smallville. Bill, watch out!
Holy shnikes!
We're being surrounded by dying natives. My e-meter just went off the chart.
You have to excuse me, I'm new at this game.
Look over there, by the bushes.
What's the matter with you guys? You look like you just seen a ghost.
It's Steven! He rescued us!
You all must leave and never come back. I don't know how you guys escaped, but you both won't take your presence here lightly.
Why are you covered in high-tech body armor and weaponry? Look, laser bolas, knee pad rockets, electrospine flame kebabs, and...
Now use them stabbing weapons.
We can't leave, Steven. We didn't come all this way just to give up.
Listen, Credo, nobody escapes from this island. I've tried.
How did you escape your bull's mind-washing torture? I mean, you were right there with Jason and me.
It's kind of a secret, but I fall asleep really easily. I can even sleep with my eyes open. He may have taped our eyelids open, but I was asleep before he could wind the first reel.
Okay, but that still doesn't explain the kicking suit of body armor.
You both thought I was brainwashed, so I played along. He wanted to make me into some kind of dynamically enhanced super soldier, so he built me this armor of polysynthetic alloy. He sent me out to patrol the island to finish you guys off. But just like his movies, his plot was full of holes. Excuse me, guys. I have to report in or you both will get suspicious. Be careful, there's more to this island than meets the eye. There's traps everywhere. I'll contact you shortly.
All in one take.
Wait! It's Mick. It sounded like he was in that clearing up ahead.
Hold on. Hide behind these bushes.
Lay low. It looks like Mick is being held by what looks like to be a gang of Euboulian tree men. Shh. They're saying something to him.
You know where you are.
Yeah, the Eubul secret base volcano. Supposedly where Xenu trapped all the alien souls for his retarded religion.
You have trespassed where only a tree man may enter. A stranger in this temple must try the wood beast.
What beast? You mean there's something hiding in that giant hole-covered stump?
Here, let me tell you about it.
Huh? Huh, man?
Oh my God! Britney Spears is the wood beast inside the stump.
If she bites Mick, he'll go mad. Not only will he shave his head and be in and out of rehab, but he'll talk like an idiot and whack on cars with umbrellas.
You came here of your own free will. I swear by the great god Arbor, I'll not kill you. Unless you beg me to. The beast lies somewhere in the stump. Choose a passage.
I feel like I've been missing out.
No way. Forget it, Mary.
Coward.
All right, all right. Listen to me. Must be my lucky day.
You scared?
Heck yeah. A robot blew her ex-husband's head off in episode 6. If her medication wears off, I'm dead. Second down. Phew. Your turn, Baron.
Oh.
Your turn.
No. Yours.
Man, this is getting ugly. And I'm talking Kira Sedgwick ugly. Are you sure
they've just been killed?
Alrighty then. One more time.
Huh? Huh?
No, Mick! And it's over. You know what I love about it is it's an inside joke, wouldn't you say, the whole thing, that there's references to our show and, you know, Flash Gordon. If no one's seen Flash Gordon, they don't know what the hell is going on. But I think that's great, though.
The thing that's hard about Lost in Mulberry is I play it for people around me, you know, all my friends and stuff, and most of them never heard Nora and Mulberry, so they're all just looking at me funny, you know. It's like, what's this Predator thing with Steven? You know, they have no idea what's going
right.
on.
And people that listen to our show would get it, so they would think it was funny. Are they like, good job, very productive, Nick.
It's quite possibly the funniest geeky in-joke ever.
Yeah, it is. It's very flattering. Thanks for doing that, Nick.
Yeah, I think that's a compliment.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Eugene, I love it.
More Eugene Butt, sorry.
Yeah, if only Andy could be part of the show, too.
Yeah.
Damn, I feel so left out.
Exactly. What do you say, guys? We get on with the show. Let's go ahead and check out entertainment. Let's do it. All right, guys, I don't know if any of you have heard about this Britney story. Speaking of Britney, but apparently she's a very lonely woman. She's got a lot of problems. And apparently she's decided to make out with some dude in a hot tub at a hotel or something. Have you guys heard about this? She was drunk. She just wanted to make out somebody. She took her top off in front of all these guys. She started making out with this guy.
That's a scary thought.
But here's the best part about it. The guy immediately goes to the news. Hey, I got to tell my story. So he's all over the news, all those bad tabloid rags. Let's go ahead and check out this in-depth interview.
She ended up taking off her top, and she had very nice breasts. Very nice breasts, actually.
Yes, he's 21, folks, but telling his tale like a 14-year-old.
She had very nice boobs, you know. There she is, topless. So she's topless. She was completely topless.
Is she topless?
I was just really focused on making out with her. I saw Britney Spears in a supine position on her bed.
Uh-huh.
Supine.
With her panties on, pink panties.
Somehow, immaculately conceived gonorrhea.
Exactly.
There was a green smoke oozing from her.
Hopefully that guy's had his shots.
Was he referring to her haircut?
I don't know.
I love the black wig she's wearing in the pictures.
Yeah.
With a hat.
But hey, I mean, okay, if you guys were that guy in the hot tub, would you go, what the hell?
Yes.
Honestly.
Sure, why not?
I think, I mean, I would.
And I'd go straight to the friggin' towel.
I mean, I'm married. I would, and I go, bitch, I'm married.
If you were single.
If I was single, hell yeah, I would, you know, I'd have to be drunk, probably.
You'd have to be very drunk to get it on with Britney Spears?
In the state she is now?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, I'd yank that friggin'
drunken
wig.
Coke whore? Yes.
four years ago, no. Now, yes.
Well, think of her like she was 4 years ago, you know, and enjoy the ride while it's
like,
available.
When she did that HBO concert,
oh,
whoa.
Yes.
Yeah,
but now
very
it's
nice
like
boobs. You know, there she is topless. So she's topless. She was completely topless.
Yeah, how topless was she?
Completely topless.
Very nice breasts. Very nice breasts, actually. Topless.
Now, Andy and Mick, you're both with us for the rest of the show. Welcome, and I'd like to know: do you guys know what chocolate rain is?
Chocolate rain.
Some stay dry, others feel the pain.
It's this crazy song on YouTube that's been viewed, like, what, 4 million times?
It's been around for, like, 2 months, but now people all of a sudden are just going crazy.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was till you sent it to me, and I was like, what the... You know what? I was like, what the hell is this? Until the neighborhood insurance rates line of genius comes on, I was like, I am hooked.
My favorite line is, pitched a tent and said the world is dry.
Yeah, what?
There's...
what the hell? It's genius keyboard work, though.
I think that's that the demo that comes with a cat.
I know, you just hit the thing, Samba. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The guy was on Jimmy Kimmel this week, which I love that Jimmy Kimmel had him on there. Here's the funniest thing. He's at his keyboard on stage. He looks like a deer in headlights, but I think he looks like that anyway. But the song starts, and his hands aren't moving, and then they start moving like he's pretending to play the song.
Right.
And he is singing it live. Let's just check it out. It won't be the whole song, but you got to hear this interview. It's genius.
Well, we are back. Catherine Bell is here with us. This song has been covered by the likes of John Mayer, Trey Cool. It's gotten more than 4 million views on YouTube alone.
It easily
gets my vote for Song of the Summer. From Minneapolis, please welcome Tayson Day with the song Chocolate Rain to tonight's Internet Talent Showcase.
All right. Woo! Genius. And cue recording.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before.
And so then cut to the interview couch.
And things on day. Wow, I'll tell you, that was a real treat to see you here live in person. Was that your first live performance?
It was, pretty much. I did one last week, but pretty new to it.
Well, I didn't know if your voice really was that deep or just your singing voice was that deep.
No, that's my voice. It's real.
It's real.
All the attention that you've gotten from the
No, you know, you just kind of put something silly up on YouTube and it gets lots of attention, so.
What do you think?
I had no idea.
You could be the next Darth Vader, you know? Say, this is CNN. Let's just see.
This is CNN.
Yes. So this song has been, John Mayer did a cover song. Have you heard that?
You know, I wish I had more time to watch other covers. You know, it's like half thousand.
Is this Froggy from the Little Rascals? Nice.
How busy can you be? You wrote a song, and then one of the biggest singers in the country covered it. Do me a favor, carve a little time out of whatever's going on in your schedule and take a look at that.
No, I'm flattered.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. What do you think of Chocolate Rain, Catherine?
I think it was great.
You liked it a lot. Okay, there you go. Catherine gives it her endorsement.
Hey, Scientology backs up Chocolate Rain.
I think they believe in Chocolate Rain.
Hey, Tayzonde. I love the guy's name, Tayzonde.
Yeah, but that's a made-up name.
It can't be. He's destined to be a star.
No, it is. His real name's like Adam Beach or something.
No, why are you ruining this for me?
Very nice breasts. Very nice breasts, actually.
My name is Tim.
Tim.
Yeah, he sounds like Kermit the Frog after puberty.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
What was his last name? Zombie?
Tayzonde.
Yeah, Zombie would have been great.
Yeah, Tay Zombie.
Yeah.
Brother of Rob Zombie. But anyway, hey, last comic standing. We're still not watching this show, am I right?
Correct. That's
Correct.
But we had a cheeky Brit on here a couple of weeks ago, and he was on again at the, what is that, Medieval Times. They all had nice. To perform stand-up at Medieval Times, so this is his little bit here, and it's pretty funny, so let's check it out.
I was watching you on the way, and you had to walk past a security guard. What kind of a job is that, a security guard for a castle? Can you imagine being a security guard at a castle knowing you're only there because you're cheaper than a moat? We could dig a hole, but we found a college student with a Dungeons and Dragons fetish who'll work for fries. I'm Jewish, but I'm not religious. Because bacon's nice.
Got a good point there.
Bacon.
I'm not going to deny myself the nicest meat in the world. On the orders of a god I'm not even sure exists. It's like driving at the speed limit when you know there's no cops.
Hey, he's got a point there, right?
The nicest meat in the world.
Hey, how come no one was laughing at that?
It was hilarious. I'm laughing on the inside where it counts.
Now, Bill, are you still watching Wife Swap or Wife Swap? Am I saying it right?
I haven't in a long time, but anytime I do watch it, I think it's terrific.
The best thing,
show on television.
What I love about it is most of them speak with Southern drawl. I would say the tacky ones.
That must right. just be a coincidence.
And just listen to this lady. I don't care if she's right. Just her twang in her voice makes me want to punch her in the head. And she's talking, I guess she stayed the week with these very white trash, filthy, dirty people. And she's given them a piece of her mind.
I have never seen what I have seen this week. The stink. Everything.
So I didn't like the smell of the dog doing the bathrooms in the living room.
What, did you not clean it up? If you clean it up, you don't smell it. I cannot fathom any mother that would let their child move out of the house at 13 years old and smile about it. Wake up, running
Wake
around
up,
stinking like
people.
Rats. And you want these kind of people raising your son.
The world is in a deep state of environmental crisis.
You're in a deep state of crap. Well, Ray knows when I say something, I know what I'm talking about. He knows it. I tell it like it is. I don't shut my eyes to the world.
And it's amazing to me that someone can say and believe the things that Sheila says and believes.
Have you ever considered therapy? Because you need it. Putting your child out of a home
Britney
and squirting
Spears
your
mom.
Butt with a water hose and your house is so filthy and the dust and the cobwebs. Wake up.
Bob Webb?
Yeah, right.
See a baseball player?
What did she say about squirting your butt with a water hose?
I mean, squirting your butt with a water hose.
It's, huh? It's, you know, it's an outdoor bidet.
You're in a deep state of crap.
Yeah, that's the drop.
Right. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that episode, but I'm sure she's a lovely woman.
I bet she believes in time travel.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but she said, she was trying to say, I cannot fathom this, but she said, I cannot phantom this. Did you guys notice that? Listen.
I cannot fathom.
I cannot phantom.
I didn't catch it.
I cannot phantom.
I guess she likes the comic strip.
I cannot phantom menace this. Huh? Excuse me.
I cannot believe George Lucas made this piece of shit.
Isn't that Dave who does the voiceover for young Anakin?
Mitasa Chopasa. Are you an angel?
I cannot phantom menace.
Mm-hmm. All my life.
Now get the hell out of my Tatooinean hut.
Get out of here,
Balovan Matapa.
Yeah.
Yippee.
Okay, thanks, Foggy. Now, before we talk about Big Brother, I'm sure, Mick, I'm sure you've been watching Big Brother this season, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm glued.
And Andy, I'm sure you've been watching it.
Oh, that was just a little dry.
Now, anyone who's not watching, every year the house is filled with reprehensible people... At the beginning, they seem kind of nice people. After a while, you're living with all of these strangers. You get to know them. You get to hate them. And then you start saying horrible things about them. The only problem with that is that there's cameras filming you 24 hours a day. And we can see what you're saying. For instance, Amber, who prays to God quite a bit about helping her win the game.
And last time I checked, the God of the Bible is a Jewish God, I believe.
Right. She went on this rant about Jews because Eric, America's player, is a Jewish person. And
now, we don't know if he
is a practicing Jew.
He's a practicing Jew, but he is of Jewish origin.
What? Oh, my God!
But he loves bacon.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Eric, I don't think, is a very nice person, but it has nothing to do with him being Jewish. He's America's player, so he has to do things that America is telling him to do. Yes, he's America's player. And he's walking into the room, okay? So he kind of got screwed where he had to explain why. He basically blamed his votes on somebody else. But anyway, that's beside the point. So Amber has said these horrible things about Jewish people. She mentioned hook noses, I believe. Am I right, Bill?
Yeah. I think also they're greedy and stingy.
Right. She said every bad stereotype. And she even included her sister. She said, my mom and sister think the same thing. So they're at home going, what? Why are you bringing me on this?
Well, her mom and sister told her how to spot a Jew because
she's sinking further and further in the toilet. And we actually got voicemail about this. And I decided to play it during our Big Brother segment because it would fit better here. Our listener, Izzy, he kind of tells us what he thinks about this. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberryans, this is Izzy. I just want to call and tell you guys I love the show every single week. I can't wait for it. I'm always harassing Jason online. When's the show? When's the show? I just want to make a comment about Amber from Big Brother and her, discussion on the Jews. I just wanted to suggest that the reason that she doesn't like Jews maybe is it's possible one of them, stepped on her face. Just saying, I don't know. Maybe it would explain the way it looks the way it does. That's all, and keep up the great work. Love the show. And, when are you guys releasing Vanessa from the basement?
It'll be a while.
Well, that's his guess. He thinks she's in the basement.
Oh, yeah, the Where's Vanessa sweepstakes? We're still taking submissions for that. Now, he's right. Amber's face does look squished in, much like a bulldog, wouldn't you say, Bill?
More of a pug.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not defending her, but they do record everything, every stupid thing you say. And, you know, I don't say racist things, but I guarantee you if I was in that house, I would have said something by now that would offend someone.
Well, sure, but, you know, I think every person, whether
unfortunately it would have been brown
bigot
coats
or not, sometimes say, you know, regrettable things. But what she said isn't as much racism as ignorance.
Right. I mean, she was wrong about it. Wasn't Jews. It's brown coats. They're very stingy.
Exactly.
They're selfish. I mean, just horrible. Those rotten brown coats.
Shiny.
Yeah, it's a big damn podcast. Shut the fuck up. Oh, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on here. So
hey, I got an example of how you offended somebody even when you weren't knowingly doing it. I do video editing, and I was at my boss's house, and I was working on a project, and I had put you guys on in background. So I had something to listen to because I was just doing some graphics work. And I guess it was the last show. And you guys were talking about, this guys were Streisands.
Oh, yes. The Born Supremacy. I was talking about Matt Damon.
He's a Streisand. But anyway, so my boss walks in and she's, you know, a 50-something extreme on fire Streisand fan. And, so she's sitting there listening. You know, I don't have any time to turn it off or pause or anything. And she goes, Streisand? And then she points to her wall, which on her wall is, I shit you not, a life-size painting of Barbra Streisand.
Nice. So she's like, why are they saying Streisands? What is this about?
Why are they saying Streisands? And so I'm spinning. You know, I'm going, well, these guys are my friends, and they're in Arlington, and they're awesome. And what they mean to say is, like, girly men. They're not really making fun of Barbara. They're sick, girly men.
We're not making fun of Babs, so I just want everyone to know that.
It wasn't even us. It was Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is to blame here.
It wasn't a movie. It wasn't us.
You offended Babs fans even through your...
Yeah, well, Babs fans should be offended because they have to pay $300 to see that.
Whoa, Bill.
What?
Offensive.
I didn't say anything offensive.
She's a brown coat?
Yeah, a brown coat. Isn't that what I said?
Her big damn beak is what you're talking about?
Babs brown coat?
Her big damn shiny nose is what you're talking about?
Anyways, she was cool about it, and later on... she started laughing listening to you guys, so I thought that...
So we won her over.
You won her over?
All right! And she voted for us, hopefully.
She started to realize that Yentl was a comedy.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
Yentl is a genius film, by the way. So anyway, back to Big Brother. Basically, Dick, evil Dick, wants... He wants Eric out of the house so bad, Bill. He wants him out of the house. He's turned everyone against Eric, you think. Danielle is the head of household. They get Eric and Kale are up on the block. Dustin, the resident homosexual, him and Amber tell him that, yeah, we're getting him out. He's a horrible person. Amber, even the day before elimination, she goes off on Eric, telling her, you know, how dare you use things I've told you against me? If I haven't given you my word, I would keep you in the house. I would vote you out right now. Which shows right there what a moron she is. Am I right?
Yeah.
Amber.
So then the elimination night happens. What happens? Eric doesn't go home. Kale does. And you see Dick's face like, they just screwed me. So now they've got Eric on their side, Dustin and Amber, Jamaica, Jessica, and now Eric are all against Dick and his daughter Danielle. So now they have enough votes. Who, you know, they're like, we've got the numbers. If we get HOH, we can put them up. And that's what happens. But what I love about Dick, and what also what I've always, what I don't like about Dick, that's a drop, by the way.
What I love about Dick.
What I love about the Dick.
Lost to Mulberry 11 right there.
Yeah. Damn it. Damn you, Foggy. I'm sure he'll order up a drop in no time. So anyway, I was talking about what I love about Paul. He's a guy who goes off. He calls people out in front of everyone. It's very embarrassing. If I was in the room, I would hide my eyes how he calls people out. But now you hate everyone so much in the house, you're entertained by him just tearing the house apart.
Oh, yeah.
And for instance, this morning, Dick had a pan. I love Dick. He had a pan. And he was banging on it over Dustin's head, going bang, 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 you know, just to annoy the hell out of him. How do you feel about Dick, Bill?
If it's I like it to be a little wider than it is long.
Excuse me?
Richard?
I'm talking about evil penis.
Yeah. Well, I think he's. I've liked
so
him
immature, by the way. Should I just say you guys are all so immature?
Yeah, I know. We're all, you know, in our early 30s, and we're all just horribly immature.
Now, Bill, have you sworn off Big Brother? Are you like, I've had it?
I have had it, but I find myself going back. Now, back to Dick, evil Dick. I think he's just the coolest guy. I mean, he's horribly immature. He's in his early 40s, and he acts like he's 16.
But you know what? Wouldn't you act like that, too, if you were in a house with early 20-year-olds?
Well, arrogant early 20-year-olds. They think they are so smart, that they are so good, and you have these self-righteous...
You're in a deep state of crap.
...that are just so irritating. Like, Jamaica. Today, I started cracking up, because Jamaica is this one that just is always praying and always, you know, saying, God has me here for a reason, God this, God that.
It's like the producers of the show picked you, dumbass.
Yeah. So, After
squirting your butt with a water hose,
Dick is on her case all morning, and finally Jamaica can't handle it anymore. She goes, Dick, all I'm going to say is karma. Steven, karma, Dick, it all comes back to you. And Dick goes, what kind of Christian are you? Karma's a Buddhist principle, you idiot. You know, and she just shut up right then and there, and it's like, good, yeah.
Does she not fathom what she's even talking about?
I cannot fathom.
Oh, I'm sorry, phantom what she's talking about.
But these people are just so
It's basically you're watching just a bunch of morons. And here's the funniest part. If you watch the feeds and then you watch the TV show, how they manipulated it into something else. Yeah. These people aren't even who they really are on the in the house.
It has the least to do with reality.
Right.
It's not reality television.
If you were to watch the show only on CBS but not on the feeds or anything, you'd think, Eric, he's a great guy.
Yeah, and yet last night, Eric made a handful of comments, incestuous comments, saying that Dick and Danielle, who are father and daughter, have sex with each other.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, just disgusting things to say about someone, and he just continues to do it. Eric is just a horrible, reprehensible person, and I hate that America isn't seeing that.
Yeah, they just don't want – they want to manipulate what they want. Let's go ahead and gear up to a show that's more happy and positive, and that's The Two Corys. Am I right, Steven?
It's a beautiful show.
I don't know. Bill, have you been able to catch up on The Two Corys yet?
No, I haven't, because I can't bring myself to watch it.
Bill, you're missing out. Is he not missing out, Steven?
I don't know why.
Corey Feldman is planning a birthday party for Corey Haim. It was genius. And the show doesn't feel manipulative like Big Brother at all, does it? It doesn't feel scripted.
Not at all.
Like, for instance, he's like, maybe we should do it at a strip club. Me and my wife are going to go to the strip club, and we're going to test out the topless dancers, which you usually do at strip clubs. Yeah, let's bring out the women. And
you and your wife often go to strip clubs
Yeah, we're just planning a party. They will give us lap dances. We'll go, you know what? No, I don't like her. Let's get the other one. And that way we
know. And that's where you take a recovering alcoholic to a strip club.
Yeah, it's a good place to go. A guy who's just coming out of rehab. And a guy who's single and looking for a girlfriend. The stripper's really balanced. Person who has her morals in place. Hey, no, I'm not saying anything about her stripping. I'm just talking about she smokes and drinks most likely, and she might do crack.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And other women.
I'm just being judgmental. Because I got it from Jamaica, right?
Judge not lest ye be judged.
Yes, I'm sorry. I mean, hey, until I've walked a mile in those strippers' me pumps, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right? Clear fuels.
So anyway, it was a great episode. Since no one knows what the hell we're talking about, let's move on to Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Am I right?
Yeah.
Hey!
Excelsior!
Mick, yes. You been watching it?
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it.
Now, here's
Yoda
the thing. Yes, he does. What I want to ask you guys is, do they not have the most convoluted tasks you have ever seen? They had this thing at a friggin' amusement park, and I was confused by it. One guy rides on a roller coaster while looking for colored cards, while the other one stands there and waits for them to get done and tells them, purple, green, go, 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 and they run and they just look for shit. And
What cracks me up about it, just the fact, like, convoluted is perfect for it, because first they say you have to find the colors in a certain order, and that's the numbers to open up a padlock. And then once they get to the padlocks, the numbers are reversed. It has nothing to do with them being in order.
Right. And even the Parthenon, he figures it out, and he's like, it's the same numbers each time. Let's just try every combination. And they get all the locks off. And everyone's like, Mr. Mitchell, he's like, I won't ride the roller coaster. No, I won't do that. And neither will somebody else. Who was the other one who wouldn't ride it?
Miss
Limelight. But she does end up doing it. Oh, Whip.
To ride her coaster.
Whip Snap. Yeah. She won't do it. Oh, I won't do it. I won't do it. No, but seriously, Whip Snap, she's a great lady. She's got a lot of character. She's a hero. She's afraid of roller coasters. Come on, Stan.
She's also sexually ambiguous. So.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Maybe the G-forces might hurt her gonads if she's riding on that.
Whoa.
She's a Hemi.
Have I gone over the line, Mick?
No, not at all.
No, she's an evil dick.
Huh?
He is. And we know he loves evil dick.
I love dick. So anyway, they opened up the thing and there's this lame villain who's supposed to be inside, but hey, it's a plasma screen.
Yeah, because if I was an evil villain, I would hide in a padlocked shipping container.
Yeah, he's like, I'm dying in here. He opens it up, there's a bunch of illegal aliens in there too. They smuggled into
I would
Magic
like to
Mountain.
See a bunch of Asian females.
It's like friggin'.
Oh, let us out! I give you a kissy kissy.
Yeah, it's like some kind of weird sexual slave ring. I would love how all of a sudden the villain's doing something really horrible. They're like, okay, the villain broke into Six Flags. Do we really give a shit? No, but true believers, he's smuggling Asian whores and selling them to white slavery. Oh, okay, now he's crossed the line.
Now you've crossed the line.
That would be much more believable.
And he's done it in a wholesome place like Six Flags. We must stop him. He's an evil villain.
We must ride roller coasters.
So they get back to the lair, and the villain, I don't even remember the villain's name. It doesn't matter, does it?
Dr. Dark.
Yeah, Dr. Dark.
Oh, that's a good name.
He's left a note about how there may be a mole, so they all start doubting each other, especially that Mr. Mitzvah. Much like Amber would. Don't you think that's the first person she would have said? I'm very suspicious of that guy.
One of them shifty Jews.
He's a shifty.
Look, I am. So they start questioning the guy, like, you know, what is your power? What do you do? Who are you?
He gives the best answer ever. I save murdered children.
It's like, ow, they're already dead. They're murdered.
Yes, but, you know, it's better for the parents. They can have closure.
Yeah, he's a counselor. So, what do you do with that paddle anyway? I spank naughty children with it. So they write... Did you guys like the part where they have to write out their reports on telling Stan what they thought of the mission, the task they did?
On their magical teleported Alienware notebooks.
Yes. It's genius. Can I say right now that Basura, I'm becoming more and more attracted to her as the episodes go by?
She needs to take her that pig snout ring out of her nose.
Yeah.
But
you know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of, okay, just kind of picture with me, she's Laura Prepon, but with other nationalities mixed
yeah,
in.
Yeah, like, yeah, and I just want to say that I'd like to be the meat in a Basura Ms. Limelight sandwich.
Oh, good to know.
I'd like to just be right in between those two.
I'm a fan of Miss Limelight. Oh, yeah.
What about Miss Hygiene or Hygiena?
Oh, yeah, good Lord. Is she spooky? Yeah. She looks like the cafeteria lady I had in elementary.
That lady's been in commercials or something. She looks so familiar.
Looks like I've seen her before, but I swear it's just the cafeteria lady.
You think she soaked her hand in the
I saw it. Yeah. I love when she goes, guys, let's not turn on each other. It's Dr. Dark we should be angry with here. He's like, I'm really happy, Hygiena, that you saw right through that. So it turns out there's no mole at all, and we all feel stupid. Oh. He eliminates Mr. Mitzvah. But I love this where he goes, well, hold on a second. I'm not done eliminating people. Dun-dun. Let's check this out. It's
double elimination.
And do you guys think they go overboard with the music on this show?
Oh, yeah.
No, not at all.
Let's check it out.
I must ask you to turn in your costume.
Is that Blaze on there?
To life.
It was time to say goodbye to Mr. Mitzvah.
Excuse me, superheroes.
Huh?
One more thing. Please go back to your spots. The other person leaving the lair is...
Come on.
Jesus!
Someone's practicing their scales.
God!
Keep up scales. One more time.
Ms. Limelight. Please do not leave here disappointed.
Not at all.
Your star shines.
It just changed my life in an amazing way, and I'm really am forever grateful.
All right, Jesus, come on with the music.
Why is it on every single reality show that no one can say a word after is? It's is, pause, and then the answer. Every single show, no matter what show you go to. And the person going home this week is... Miss Limelight. Every show. Every American Idol. Go across.
Yeah.
Go down to the bottom barrel. Go for that dramatic pause. They even did it on the goddamn lot, man. You know, it's like the filmmaker going home this week is...
I cannot fathom.
I can't fathom that, Andy.
Yeah, that fake suspense shit gets a little old.
And here's what I hate about I love the show. It's horribly bad, but it's great. It's moronic and all that. But do they really have to recap the last 20 seconds when they come back from a commercial?
Yeah, what is with that?
Why are they recapping what we just saw?
It's like people who... What, I tune in just to see who got eliminated.
Not
That's
to
it.
Mention when you have TiVo and fast forward through the commercials and you're watching it again.
In case you forgot while you were gone.
Those bastards.
In case you don't remember the last 10 seconds.
Now, before
in case you have short-term memory loss.
Before we move on, guys.
You know who Igina looks like? She looks like a really roughed up Janine Garofalo.
Holy shit, Mick, you're right.
Hot.
Muffins, exactly.
Now, guys, who is your pick? Who is he going to pick as the who wants the superhero?
I think the cop.
Yeah. No.
I'm
just guessing.
I'm thinking Hyperstrike. No, not Hyperstrike.
No, Hyperstrike's a douchebag.
I do predict that Whipsnap will shed many more tears before this is over with.
I think it's going to be Parthenon!
Parthenon! I hope it's Basura, just because if she's gone and then I have to look at everyone else, the eye candy will be gone and it'll be
I'll
hard to watch.
I'll give up after that.
You're forgetting about Parthenon!
Yeah, that's still... We still got some eye candy, Parthenon!
It's like they got rid of Miss Limelight, so that's half the damn eye candy. Remember last season they only had one. What was her name?
Creature.
Creature.
Yeah.
Monkey Woman.
Monkey Woman was hot.
The brunette, the gold one. What was her name?
Lemuria.
Yeah, she was gone. I was like, ah, crap.
It's like crap. Yeah, I can't watch this crap anymore.
Great natural boobies bouncing around.
Yeah. What is Stan Lee thinking? Excelsior.
I think Stan Lee's a homosexual.
What? How dare you say something like that? He created the greatest superheroes ever, Bill. You take it back.
But he did put a whole bunch of men in tights.
I cannot fathom.
I can't fathom what you're saying, Bill. I think you should take it back.
No.
Have you ever considered therapy? Because you need it.
I know.
All right, Entourage. Now, Andy, we won't spoil Entourage for you, okay? But
it's okay. I listened to last week, and I know they're... I mean, I'm not where you guys are because I don't have HBO, but I really don't care. Have fun. So.
Okay, let's...
How can you spoil Entourage, really?
Can I just talk about one part of Entourage, though? Yeah. And that's Gary Busey was on this episode.
Awesome.
And Gary Busey is brilliant. And the best part, I'll just play part of this episode here, Bill, and we may talk about it more in depth next week, but they want a desk for Eric, and unfortunately it's owned, or it's already
previously
been,
owned
it's
by.
Already been sold by, it's already been sold to Gary Busey, okay?
Like season one?
Yeah, Gary Busey was on like season one or season two.
He was having
an
art show.
Sculptures or something.
Right.
And the only... Yeah, it's a laptop desk. Nice, Mick. So basically, the only way he'll give it to them is if he gets to paint Johnny Drama. No, not paint his portrait. Paint on him.
Johnny is the canvas.
And let's just check this out. Just picture him being painted on, but it's hilarious. Gary Busey's insane.
Keep your eyes straight, please. Don't look at the paint. The paint will be on you soon.
The paint will be on you soon.
Looking good, Johnny.
Whoa.
I just talked to the store. You will have the desk this afternoon. Whoa.
Yeah, great. Well, you better love it. You're paying for my therapy. Therapy will let you down. This is your therapy.
He's so good in this episode. Just everything he says is just like, if somebody says, like, Turtles, he's like, Turtle, why are you looking at me like that? And he goes, because you scare me, Gary. And he goes, the fear you see is in yourself.
It's a reflection of yourself.
Yeah, everything he says is like this weird Zen shit. It's just
well,
hilarious.
You know what's funny is that he had to have actually written those lines.
I know, because he's so...
The one that cracked me up was when they're walking in. The tortoise, the hare, and the millionaire.
Yeah. When they first walk up to Gary Busey, he walks out on the porch, he says everything in a rhyme, and they're just kind of like, yeah, great, Gary. It's just so creepy.
So that, a better show. I mean, really, is there a better show? It's hard to find.
No, you got to get caught up on it.
You know, I hated Entourage when it first came on, and I think it's probably one of the best written comedic shows on television.
Let's do the news!
I'll never manage to stop looking at her boobs.
Huh?
Me neither.
Now, Bill, before we get into the news for a second, last week we did a story about a woman stealing fudge.
Fudge.
She stuffed fudge into her pockets or something. She told the police she had been sexually assaulted. It was just really weird. But the reason I even bring this up is I got this weird voicemail, and I just want to play. It's really strange, and let's check it out.
Hello? My name is Catherine Ann Delgado, and I'm from Greenbelt, Maryland. And, why did they take my fudge? I wasn't stealing it. I just wanted some fudge. Precious chocolate. I wasn't trying to hide it in the toilet. It was just really hard, and I needed to soften it. So I could eat some of my lovely, lovely fudge. Why are they making fun of me?
I'm scared.
Please send me some fudge.
I picture an evil clown.
I'm at women's prison.
Does she need some in the women's prison?
Fudge. What the hell was that? Is anyone here right now guilty of this voicemail?
Not me, baby.
No. Okay. I don't think I could pull that off.
That sounds like Bill, possibly Jason.
Definitely not me, man.
No, not me.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
A Spanish thief who saw himself as a Robin Hood-like bandit. Spain's most wanted thief, the Loner, saw himself as Robin Hood and said he robbed banks only because they stole from the public. Accused of killing three policemen.
What?
Yes. Squirting your butt with a water hose.
Last time I checked, Robin Hood was also a murderer.
Yeah, I think he missed that part of Robin Hood.
So, accused of killing three policemen and holding up more than 30 banks... Jamie Jimenez Arbe was planning to move on to insurance companies when he was arrested last month. Now, insurance companies, I can understand. He can kill anyone in there. I don't care.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
Absolutely, Green Arrow.
Did he leave the fudge?
Yes, I think he did.
So I made myself clear. You were only to use violence, fudge. You're in danger.
He says that I'm not a killer, and if I was obliged to shoot at officers of the law, it was always against my will and in order to avoid being arrested.
No, he's logical about it.
Okay.
That's kind of circle logic. It was against my will.
Hey, but... I wouldn't have shot them if they hadn't have tried to arrest me. It's their fault.
Exactly. Way to turn that around. Trillo... who robbed the banks disguised in a false beard and a wig. Now, it would have been better if he was...
Oh, he's a master of disguise, too?
Yes. He should have been dressed up like Jimmy Carter mask or Ronald Reagan and used bra a lot. He thinks himself as Curo Jimenez, a Spanish 1970s television bandit in the style of Robin Hood. The Loner was arrested in Portugal armed with a submachine gun in preparation for another bank robbery.
So he's just adding his own little props to his own mythology here. Cause...
Yeah, but you know, if you watch The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, he does use a submachine gun. Unbelievable. This one's for Steven.
Steven.
Yeah, oh. Jet setters in Saint-Tropez may be grounded after French authorities limited helicopter flights to the exclusive resort following complaints about the noise. The decision to close the helipad, accounting for about 30% of helicopter traffic to Saint-Tropez, came after abuses of an agreement to limit flights. And an official in the regional administrative center of Dragunani said...
Dragula?
Yes. Dragula! A byword for international glamour... Yes. So, a byword for international glamour, since its discovery by film stars like Brigitte Bardot in the 1950s, Saint-Tropez remains a magnet for the rich and status-conscious. Helicopter ferry passengers over the traffic jams into town and also to other villages and marinas along the coast.
I think you're insane.
That's got to be I would understand it. If I lived, like, if I was actually a resident of Saint-Tropez, some native living in a hut, I don't know what they live in there, but, and I had helicopters flying over my house constantly because of these, people with money, I would probably lose my shit on one of them and go steal Robin Hood's submachine gun.
Get the hell away from my HUD, you son of a bitch!
I blew my roof off!
Yeah, I cannot fan them!
How dare you fuck with my HUD?
They gotta replace their roof every time they fly over.
Hey, here's an idea! How about some tile or something? Jesus!
Insulate that damn house.
Go kill some turtles and make some turtle tile.
You can make turtle soup and use the things like as roof tiles. That would be okay.
Yeah.
Turtle shingles. I have no idea where Podgorica is, but I have a feeling that's where
podcasts originated from.
Yeah, that's where they record the signal. Podgorica.
You can't stop it.
Yeah, no, you can't. Reports of sharks off the Adriatic beaches of Montenegro have had little effect on bathers and tourists, local authorities said on Friday. The sighting of a shark 10 days ago in the waters off the port of Bar at first prompted the local lifeguard to order all swimmers and divers out of the water, except a little boy whose old mother he was eaten, and the mother held it against the sheriff for some reason. I think his name was Roy Scheider. No. The appearance of a shark should be accepted as normal. It's as natural as seeing a bear in the woods.
That is true.
Said Captain Kirsto Rakovich, head of maritime security. You know, he's right. But
which
still,
is a... Isn't that guy from children's books? Captain Kirsto!
Does a bear shit in the woods?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Can you hear him shitting if you're not there to hear it?
I don't know. Does the shark shit in the ocean?
I don't know. And can you hear it if you're not there?
He's adding his own drops.
The scare enlivened the tabloid pages in Montenegro and Serbia, but was short-lived. The coast of the newly independent republic continues to attract record tourist numbers, many from neighboring Serbia, Montenegro's partner for nearly 90 years until they split last year. Oh,
struggling.
I wonder if the split was amicable or if it was, differences or something like that. It's really too bad. I always liked Serbia and Montenegro. They were a really nice couple. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh.
Yes.
Let's get to the end.
You prick. Okay.
Oh, you've made this very uncomfortable.
Yeah. In Berlin, top-selling German daily Bild invited its readers Friday to take part in a competition to paint the best portrait of Princess Diana to mark the 10th anniversary of her death.
Wow.
I would paint one of her hanging out of the car in Paris in the tunnel. That's the
just
winner.
Just sits in the corner
right
wearing a sweater vest and masturbating.
Ooh.
That'd be an interesting portrait.
So they said 10 years ago she died on August 31st, blah, blah, blah. She lives on in the millions of hearts. Let's paint her how she's remembered, blah, blah, blah. I'm not British, obviously. So
no!
I could really give a shit about Princess Diana.
So hey, very droll.
Don't move against the Diana coats.
Yes.
They're crazier than the brown coats, Bill.
What is with the
we do not want to make enemies
Diana.
Of them. I don't know. She was a nice person. She did a lot for charity, and people liked her because she wasn't stuffy like the monarchy, and that's about it. I don't know otherwise. I mean, I got nothing.
I just don't understand the obsession. It's kind of dumb.
I love this town!
So do I. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's a baby. A New Zealand couple is looking to call their newborn son Superman, but only because their chosen name of For Real has been rejected by the government registry. And by For Real, it's the number 4, R-E-A-L. Pat and Sheena Wheaton say they will get around the decision by the registrar of births, deaths, and marriages by officially naming their son Superman, but referring to his name For Real.
I guess they couldn't name him Kal-El because Nick Cage stole that already.
It was taken. The Wheatons decided on the name after seeing the baby for the first time in an ultrasound scan and realizing their baby was For Real.
Huh? I thought they were going to say he had a curl on his hair or something.
I think you should be able to name your baby Shit if you want to. Who cares? I mean,
come here, Shit, you little shit. Yeah, well, you know what? You got to give it to New Zealand. At least they're smart enough not to let stupid people name their baby stupid things.
I next cannot step is fan on
not let stupid people actually procreate.
Right, right.
They decided For Real was the best way to write it, but the name was rejected because the registrar said a name had to be a sequence of characters.
Huh? So they're just making up stuff to not ruin this kid's life.
Yeah. Pat Wheaton said he was considering appealing against the decision through the courts, but whatever happens, he won't be budged on his choice. No matter what, it's going to stay For Real. Wheaton told the Herald. I guess pun intended. You know.
Imagine having to go through school. Hey, Superman.
Yeah, I can. They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Hell, it's no better than going to school with the name For Real. Hey, For
You're
Real.
For my therapy.
I don't know. I think Superman would be a little worse because they'd be beating the crap out of you.
Oh, what are you going to do, Superman? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
not so fast now, Superman.
Yeah, they've pretty much given him a life of getting his ass kicked a lot, wouldn't you say?
Getting his ass kicked faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah, Green Arrow. That would rock. Ollie Queen.
Call him Stephanie or something. Boy.
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
Well, look, even John Wayne changed his name because he had the chick's name.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
What was his name?
Oh, what was his name?
Carol or something?
Dwayne. Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne.
Change it to John. Is that what it was, Steven?
It's a different world. Then we have a commentary.
I can't remember what it was.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
I don't remember.
A good story out of Germany. Farmer attacks police with a shit spreader.
What?
Yes, a nice. German farmer angry with police for trying to confiscate his tractor wrecked 3 patrol cars and evaded capture for 7 hours before an elite unit managed to arrest him and to send up the elite unit. The farmer, 53, was pulled over by police for driving his tractor without a license, despite several previous warnings. The officer called in...
Squirting your butt with a water hose.
Yikes. The officer called 3 patrol cars for help before asking the farmer to get out.
The stink.
Oh, jeez. So they called in the 3 patrol cars before asking the farmer to get out of his vehicle. He refused and proceeded to ram the cars with his tractor, making full use of its attached muck spreader.
Just let rain.
Yes. Officers were only just able to scramble out of harm's way. The farmer then drove Farmer then drove into a forest where he eluded a manhunt involving two helicopters and an armored car for 7 hours.
Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
He was finally found by the elite police team in a barn on his farm in Lauterbach in central Germany.
That is one big pile of shit.
It took an elite police team to find this guy.
It's friggin' SWAT team in hazmat uniforms.
So basically, he rammed the cars and he drove home. And they couldn't find him for 7 hours. It's like Keystone Cops.
He needs to team up with that other guy. The Crusader wants to be like Robin Hood. Wouldn't that be a great duo there?
The shit spreader and...
A Latino Robin Hood who shoots with submachine guns.
One shoots bullets, one shoots the shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
He has great conversations, right?
What do you do for a living? Oh, I fight crime with my shit spreader.
I'm guessing that's for fertilization?
Possibly. In Moscow, a crocodile survived a fall from the 12th floor of a Russian apartment block after making an escape bid through a window.
I cannot fathom.
Diving out of the window has become a habit for the crocodile.
What?
called canar.
You're in a deep state of crap.
It was the third time he had used that method to flee. The crocodile lost one tooth in the latest fall, but was otherwise unscathed. This is a super crocodile. it seems the owner was not at home when the crocodile came out of the window. Emergency services put the crocodile in a local aquarium to recover him from his fall. Within a few hours, his concerned owner came to pick him up, and the crocodile was last seen lying on the back seat of his owner's car. What is going on?
Why do you get to keep? You can't keep a pet. An alligator's a pet.
Who knows the dynamite?
It was a crocodile.
Does he put it in his bathtub? I don't understand. What is going on here?
Gargoyles.
a giant smiling lake.
Psychics!
Was fished out of the sea in the Dutch resort of Vandvoort on Tuesday in Amsterdam. Workers at the drink
Is this the foreign news edition, Bill?
Yes, it is. I'm getting to the Alexander Blinov story very soon.
The amazing Blinov!
Workers at a drink stall rescued the 2.5-meter tall model. That's what, around 8 feet? With a yellow head and blue torso. We saw something bobbing about in the sea, and we decided to get out of the water. It was a life-size Lego toy.
Yay!
I saw the Lego toy floating towards the beach from the direction of England.
Huh?
Where boners go to die.
Look! That floating Lego toy is coming from England! It's the invasion of the lone Lego toy.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
I wonder if it was heavy.
It would have sunk then, I would think.
I suppose. Last story, and this one is, you know, for Vanessa. It's out of Berlin. A fashion model who features in a high-profile advertising campaign for a German telecom provider threatened to seek another provider after waiting 3 months for the company to install a new phone line at her apartment. The 27-year-old model, known as Dora, can be seen smiling brightly in posters across Germany for Telekom's new high-speed connection service, but she told Bild newspaper Tuesday she was fed up with waiting for her Berlin home to be connected. I'll give them another week, but that's it. After that, I'm going to switch to another provider, the model said. A Dutch telecom spokesman cannot be reached for comment, but Bild quoted a telecom official saying they'd be in touch with Dora right away. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Very nice press.
Very nice brass, actually.
like she thinks she has some sort of leeway because she's in an advertising campaign.
You would think.
Oh, yeah. we're going to use your face. Okay, but I need my telephone.
Like, can you hear me now, guy? And he can't get service.
Right.
He probably has AT&T.
Do you have any idea who I am? I'm the can you hear me now, guy. Activate my phone right now, or I'll have your ass in a sling. You know, something like that. I bet you phone call has happened.
I bet you he'd be going like, what? What'd you say? Thank you.
I'll be here till Thursday.
I wonder if it's like if like Jared went into a Subway and couldn't get a sandwich.
Yeah. You know who I am. I'm Jared. Give me my sandwich. Give me my f***ing sandwich.
Don't you know that guy, the can you hear me now guy, in regular life, people come up to him and go, can you hear me now?
You guys ready to eat a bullet? It's like, I am going to kill myself.
If I was him, I would walk around with a brown paper bag on my head. just so people wouldn't recognize me.
Yeah, he's probably wearing like a Rasta wig and like big sunglasses.
Yeah, man.
Can you hear me now, man? Yeah. In a few years, he'll be doing 24, just like the Ozark of water guy.
Yeah.
And that's the news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say? We got any DVDs this week?
Of course we do. What are you asking me for? Let's do them. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
HD Blu-ray is at the definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, baby! Oh, yeah, Steven banging on them bongos!
Back in fine singing voice this week.
Wake up!
Whoa! Yeah, Steven, I sung it last week and it sucked ass. I'm glad to have you back.
Steven on the floor? He should be.
He's sitting upright this week. All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
Let's start off with a British series that I'm sure everyone has seen and loved. All Creatures Great and Small, the complete collection. Has anybody heard of this?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? Huh? Really?
The reason why it kind of came out at me is its list price is $400.
Holy!
I don't care how good something is, how long it's been on the air, whatever. Nothing is worth $400.
Is this like this is more than that Buffy set, isn't it? That was like every single season in one.
Dude,
like
I own that Buffy set, and it only cost me like $80.
Jesus,
this thing is $400 freaking dollars.
Damn.
So I don't know how many seasons this thing went. Maybe seven. It looks like seven.
Jeez.
Maybe it's just BBC Home Video in there.
Wow!
Are they like HBO, like Extreme? Because every HBO box set is incredibly expensive, so maybe this is like that, only BBC is like double. Maybe it's £400 and it's actually like $20.
Yeah, this thing, the complete collection runs 4,477 minutes.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
So forever like post-apocalyptic, have nothing to do in the bomb shelter, pop on this show.
I think it's probably like watching Masterpiece Theater, so...
Hey, sweetie, don't shoot any puppies on your way out, okay?
Gotta be dry.
Very dry. Very dry.
Next DVD is Aqua Teen Hunger Force : Movie Film for Theaters for DVD.
I shake like an epileptic at an arcade.
I'm one that enjoys Aqua Teen Hunger Force on Cartoon Network Adult Swim. I definitely
want
to check
it
out.
Gay.
Yeah. But I love Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Next DVD is quite possibly, I'm not sure. Andy, you know about double dipping, but this has to be the fourth or fifth time. Back to School, Extracurricular Edition.
All right.
Great.
Yes, I did do drugs. I appreciate everyone giving me my privacy.
Huh? MGM is pathetic with these re-releases of the same movie. It seems like this thing has come out every year since DVD has been in existence.
Well, they've stopped.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
They've stopped even doing things like the 20th anniversary or the director's cut. Now it's just some whacked out, stupid, you know, the shaky edition. You know,
yeah, the, like they did the Revenge of the Nerds edition. One, the panty rated edition.
Panty rated edition.
They're just being cute.
It's like, please, it's like.
But, you know, the good thing is I don't own Back to School. I'll be buying this one.
Yeah, right. The Nerds version I own is the one with the original and two Nerds in Paradise on the same disc. It's a flipper. So I don't even own the any of the special editions. Since we talked about racism in this show, let's bring up this DVD, the Charlie Chan Collection, Volume 3. Nothing better than a white man painted yellow.
I cannot fathom.
Doing a horrible, stereotypical Asian accent.
We're going to solve the crime.
Yeah, what were they thinking? Seriously. Who played Charlie Chan, by the way?
Ching Chong, Danny DeVito.
Oh, Danny DeVito.
The View, Ching Chong.
Yeah. It was Warner Olin that.
That's so offensive, Rosie.
Ching Chong, Ching Chong.
So it was Warner Olin that played Charlie Chan.
One, two, three. Go and eat it.
I wouldn't. If I played Charlie Chan, I wouldn't want anybody to know my name.
Yeah.
Screw you, small judo man.
I would want to be credited as Alan Smithy.
Yeah, there's Alan Smithy for directors. What about if you don't want people to know who you are as an actor?
It's Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah.
The NPH. Next DVD is a 1992 classic, China Heat. Super Cops, Super Bad. So, yeah.
You're in a deep state of crap.
Hey, don't be dissing China Heat.
Is it? It's about the...
Captain T-Haw will kick your
global
ass.
Warming in China? What is it about? I don't get it.
Captain T-Haw is a beautiful, relentless she-quad what? So it looks
one
like
of my
they're hunting
testicles
a
has
drug
enlarged.
War and well, you get a happy ending with Egg Roll. So
you forgot Egg something?
Roll. What?
I don't even know what the hell's going on anymore.
I know. Next DVD is The Dark Crystal, the 25th anniversary.
Ooh, dude. Dark Crystal. Wait a sec. How
this
many
is a triple.
Dark Crystals are out
this
there?
This is three now.
Yeah.
Jesus!
So now we get the 25th anniversary.
But again, I don't own any of them, so I'll get this one.
I'll wait for the HD version.
What about you, Mick? Do you own the Dark Crystal?
Gelfling?
Gelfling? So this is...
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
He's been sitting back the whole time. I think you should let him shoot a zombie, man.
Yeah, let me shoot a zombie.
How you want to kill a zombie, man? You want to do it?
Yeah, I noticed that there was a knock on the door when you and Steven came back in the room, and there was some groaning. Take this, you scumbag!
There you go.
Close enough!
Yay!
So... I guess because no one else is alive or Frank Oz didn't want to have anything to do with it, it only has a commentary from Brian Froud.
So,
there you go, Brian Froud. What I love, though, is that this it comes with a Japanese Dolby Digital 5.1 track. So,
whoa there, Pickle.
If you get really bored, you can watch it in Japanese.
Sweet.
Look at
what the hell was that?
I don't know, man. You might see a Skeksis on the next Lost in Mulberry, man.
Ooh, Skeksis.
Do you guys watch Ninja Warrior?
But come on, we love the other show. Takashi Mike's Castle?
Takashi Mike. That would be a crazy show.
Yes, it would.
Slicing people up. And while we're on this Asian kick, Drunken Monkey.
Nice.
2002 straight-to-video Cantonese film with Sorry, dudes that... Seagal. No, it's not Seagal. But it has Cantonese tracks, so you can hear people go, oh, see! Dynasty, the second season. I know how much Steven loved Dynasty.
Been watching Dynasty, bud.
Love the Dynasty. Big Linda Evans fan.
Good evening, this, Angel.
You know what? That, as a kid, I remember Joan Collins was supposed to be hot, and I never saw it. I was like, what?
She was scary.
You gotta remember, it's like Linda Evans back then. You're like, man, she's kind of hot.
No, no, I didn't. I thought she was a dude.
The only one saying that was Yanni.
Yanni, yeah. Too. Is it true that Yanni was once in Mannheim Steamroller, but he was exiled? I'm just throwing that rumor out there, okay, guys?
Next DVD I'm actually interested in, it's the Ryan Gosling, Anthony Hopkins film, Fracture.
Fracture, yes.
Fracture. I saw a previews for that, never got around to seeing it, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
The wannabe Silence of the Lambs.
I don't know about that.
Well, look at the trailer. And he's sitting there looking at him and goes, would you like that with a nice candy?
If you're really bored and you have finished watching All Things Great and Small, you can rent the or buy the Kenneth Branagh version of Hamlet in a special
squirt in your butt with a water hose.
DVD, I think it runs about 300 minutes. So
you know what I thought about? Okay,
it's $450.
Yeah,
that one British the one British show you're talking about. All Things Great and Small and The Staircase, double feature.
Holy shit.
How soon would you eat a bullet?
Probably pretty quickly.
Have you ever considered therapy?
But you know, I'm sure Vanessa watched all of All Things Great and Small.
Therapy will let you down.
Nice.
What could quite possibly be the most boring audio commentary ever? This Hamlet has a commentary by Kenneth Branagh and Shakespeare scholar Russell Jackson. So if you want to sit around for 6 hours listening to a commentary by a Shakespeare scholar and a arrogant director, you can pick this one up.
You're paying for my therapy.
I think you would need it after that.
Yeah.
If you don't have any of the Halloweens, Halloween 1, 2, and 3 are coming out again.
Awesome.
Just in
Season
time
of the Witch.
Just in time for the Rob Zombie movie.
Yes. Yeah, isn't
You've got troubles, Mac.
Crazy how that kind of coincides.
It's just a huge coincidence.
It really is. It's amazing.
What do you think, Andy? You going to go see it? Are you a big Rob Zombie fan?
No, I've not seen one of his films before. I've heard a lot of good things.
Hey, man! You big Dracula fan there?
Yeah, no, I haven't been to it yet.
He likes more human than human, but that's only because it was in Blade Runner.
Right.
I'm afraid something inside me died.
The first one, The House of a Thousand... I can't find... It's not even watchable to
me. I heard the second one was really good. Excellent. Disturbing, sick.
People always talk about The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, The Devil's Rejects.
You know what's funny? When I was
so
in high
sorry,
school,
Bill.
It was the first time I realized how big of a geek and how out of place I was. Was whenever that Rob Zombie song came out, that More Human Than Human, and people were really loving it in my high school. And I was like, do you even know where that came from?
You're getting upset.
And I'm upset about it because, I love Blade Runner. I briefcase.
Blade Runner Final Cut in Blu-ray?
No, I'm going to get it on HD DVD.
HD DVD.
Yeah.
It's HD Blu-ray, it's in the definition.
I have to support. In fact, just this morning I pre-ordered it on Amazon.com.
Nice.
But anyways, I would get so upset at them. And I'd be like, have you ever seen Blade Runner? Have you ever read... Do androids dream of electric sleep?
And by the way, Ridley Scott, Deckard's not a replicant. Go not fuck yourself.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, oh my god, do I hate that. Lee.
Yeah, did you guys know he was a replicant? You know what? I didn't give a shit. I watched the fucking movie and it was over and I got on with my life.
Yeah, that's why I totally prefer the international cut.
Sorry for that outburst, Mick.
The happy ending, the voiceover, everything.
Good
give
corner.
Me the international cut.
He's not a replicant. It's impossible. It doesn't logically fit.
No, oh, because he dreamt about a unicorn! Okay,
so if Rachel was the first of her kind, how could Deckard basically be more advanced than she is, and she's the first of her kind?
Right.
Can somebody explain that to me?
He's just a replicant. Now I'm going to go make a movie about Russell Crowe being rich and living in a vineyard or something. He's like, huh?
That was a winner.
Oh, I would love to have a good year.
It almost sounds like, you know, my movie didn't have enough depth, so I'm going to throw in a little twist in like 50 years later.
You know, I think Ridley's had a little too much exposure to Tony.
Revisionist M. Night.
Oh, don't be bringing Tony into the conversation.
Scooters.
Yeah, but have you seen Hot Fuzz yet?
Yes, I have.
You gotta love how much they made fun of Tony Scott in those fucking scenes.
I did. It was hilarious.
I
we couldn't have that now, could we?
Laughing in the theater. People looked at me like, "What are you laughing at?"
It was a total slap. Absolutely.
I thought it was more of an honoring Tony Scott.
Well, it was, but it was also taking it, you know, to the extreme.
It was showing how ridiculous it actually is.
Right. Right.
Okay. Let's wrap these up. Next DVD is Inland Empire, the David Lynch movie that nobody saw because it wasn't released anywhere.
Everywhere.
Except in New York and L.A., I think.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
The stink.
So if it's a David Lynch movie, you can pretty much bet on Laura Dern and Harry Dean Stanton being in it.
Isabella Rossellini.
Isabella.
But I have no
and
idea.
And a midget who talks backwards.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is about, much like I have no idea what most David Lynch films are about. So
right.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Next DVD is Labyrinth, the anniversary edition. What anniversary? Oh, I have no idea, but they felt the need to release this.
Is this did
and a half.
Did the properties just lapse on the Jim Henson royalty something? Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
By the way, there's a commentary with Brian Fuse on this one.
Who the hell is that guy? Who are you?
I have no idea.
Probably some producer or something.
I guess he's
Scala.
State your name and business. Who are you?
Brian Fuse. I wrote the
What's
book of
your favorite
Henson.
Color?
What are you doing here?
I am the number
one. Enemies. See them driven before
driven
you.
Before you.
And they hear the lamentation
of the women.
Oh, okay.
I am the president of the Jim Henson fan club.
I was hired to lead, not to read.
Bowie and his full-on Goblin King and... Connolly and her magnificent young girl.
I got your horse. I hope you got your buddy.
You can see. Well, hell, just watch Career Opportunities, man. Holy
oh, my God.
Mackerel.
That when she's on that horse.
That's like going to church, man. You know, it's like.
It's a holy experience.
It really is.
Oh, my God. What a bitch.
Now you know what Prince meant when he sang When Doves Cry.
You're such a jerk.
So, you know, that Masters of Horror series is still going on. And the
Didn't Takashi Mike do one of those?
No, because I think they saw his and went, you know what? We'll pass. Thanks, but no thanks. So, Mick Garris's Valerie on the Stairs and Tom Holland's We All Scream for Ice Cream.
Hey, let me ask you, Mick Garris hack, maybe?
Possibly.
Why does Stephen King always hire that dude to do adaptations of his stuff?
Stop. Cheap. Maybe he won't mess with Stephen King's script too much.
Maybe, yeah. maybe he has something on Stephen King, you know, blackmail.
But he probably stands outside the studio with a sign or something.
Could it possibly be Stephen King, nom de plume or whatever?
That's a good one, Mick. He stands out there with a sign.
We'll direct for food.
Yeah.
If you want a nice triple feature, you can pick up Psycho 2, Psycho 3, and Psycho 4, the beginning, all on
what
one
about
dip.
The first one?
Well, I don't
it's
think
too
they,
good.
They, yeah, they're like,
they're no, keeping maybe, their distance.
No, throw in the Gus Van Sant one.
You know what? That would be a great quadruple feature.
Felt so good to go streaking.
Of uselessness. Yeah, I think you would actually need Gary Busey's therapy after watching those. All right.
That was put the shitty movies on those discs. It's like, you know, we're not going to put the good one that started it all. We're going to put all the crap sequels.
It's yeah, but what's funny is they threw them all on one disc. So
you know,
can you imagine the compression on that dual layer yeah. disc?
For $7.99, and you wonder why it's so cheap.
If you don't already own the collector's edition of Taxi Driver, you can pick it up now.
Wow, collector's edition. What does that mean?
I think it means it's just as overrated as it was
no.
a few years ago. What?
Taxi Driver is not overrated.
It's a good thing Human Film Database. Oh,
you know what? I think it's an overrated piece of shit. I've watched it I don't know how many times, and every time I watch it, I go, what okay. A... Yeah.
I'm going to make a big admission here, and I'm kind of like you, Bill. I really, it's like, okay. You know, yeah, interesting performances, but
yeah,
you know.
I don't. There's absolutely nothing in it. There's nothing there for me. When I watch it, I don't feel anything. I don't go, wow, look at this descending nature into violence and desperation. And
you know what? I'm gonna say right now, I think it's because it's been aped in so many films since then. Maybe if you'd seen it for the first time before, so many people had taken from it, possibly. Possibly?
No, you know what?
Can we give it that? Because it's a brilliant movie. I mean, you guys know that it's a brilliant film. You just,
of course, you can recognize.
You're just saying it's a disturbing film. Yes, Paul Schrader's a really effed up dude.
Yeah,
but it's a great film, but it's very disturbing. What do you think, Mick?
Oh yeah, I'm disturbed right now.
Gotta love that delivery. Let's wrap this up. The last two DVDs we have are classics that everyone will want to pick up and have in their collection for years. Vacancy with Luke Wilson and Kate Beckinsale.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Coincidentally, I believe Frank Whaley, who was in Career Opportunities with the amazingly built Jennifer Connelly. And not to be outshined, Wild Hogs.
With
quite possibly the best ensemble cast ever in film.
Directed by the late Ingmar Bergman.
Yes.
In Ingmar Bergman's last great triumph of cinema, Wild Hogs.
So what is Wild Hogs about exactly?
Wild Hogs is about four guys who come upon a hog farm and have incestuous relationships with their daughters.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
That's Big Brother.
Did Paul Schrader direct that and write it?
Yeah, he did. And afterwards, they feed the offspring to the hogs.
And then a bird, as John Travolta's on his motorcycle, hits him in the face.
But anyways, it's Tim Allen, John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, William H. Macy, for no reason, appearing in this hysterically funny comedy about four weekend warrior friends who decide to rev up their ho-hum suburban lives with a cross-country motorcycle adventure. Can this sound any worse?
Now, Mick, did you see this in the theater?
Yes. I spent my money.
So what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think, Mitt?
You know, everybody told me it was funny, so I went in there expecting, you know, thought it would be funny. It has its funny parts. But, you know, I didn't expect a Taxi Driver or nothing. God, it would be cool if he appeared in it, though. Yeah,
Scorsese's best film since Taxi Driver, Wild Hogs!
I think this is Walt Becker's best film since Van Wilder.
Who the hell is that?
The guy who directed it.
He's dead, Jim.
I think he also directed a classic 2001 film called Buying the Cow. with Jerry O'Connell.
I cannot fathom.
So Walt Becker has a really amazing filmography right now.
Nice.
Very nice boobs. You know, there she is topless. So she's topless. She was completely topless.
That's all you can think about.
DVDs. And that's DVDs for... Oh, shut up, people! And that's DVDs for August 14th, 2007.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And...
Everybody, that was episode 88 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Can you believe it? 88 episodes of this show.
88
Meg. I'm almost going to say that 88's more special than 90. And that's why we had Andy from the Hollywood Saloon.
Hello.
And Mick McCart of Lost in Mulberry and your own Captain Jolt.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for
Uhura.
Doing that. Uhura, yes. Huge Trek fan.
Yeah.
Now, thanks, guys, for doing the show today. I appreciate it. We had a lot of fun, and I know you're all exhausted. Am I right? If anyone would love to send us feedback on this episode, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to send a voicemail, much like the Fudge Lady, which will give me nightmares tonight, call 1-206-202-3491. Also go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you'll find links to Mulberry Old School and our forum, which, by the way, is where we're squatting, which is the Hollywood Saloons forum. Thanks, Andy, for letting us move in there.
We're homeless squatters.
And I swear we'll start paying rent. I'm kind of working on some things, trying to, you know, I'm sorry.
What?
Hey, do me a favor. Please, please, please play Final Countdown.
I cannot fathom.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I can't believe we still have this.
I was flipping through on
Foggy never throws anything out.
On YouTube or the other one, and they were doing U-Bowl does Guitar Hero, the movie.
Nice.
Guitar Hero. U-Bowl should do a Super Mario Brothers movie. It couldn't be any worse than Bob Bob.
We live in together.
Yes.
Until we farewell.
Jam. This is for all the fans who voted for us in the podcast awards.
Yes.
And they're like, this is a thank you?
It's the final countdown.
Is that keyboards or like a guy doing the air trumpet?
I think it's an actual keyboard that sounds like a trumpet.
Can you just picture the guy doing it with his hands? All right, that's enough. That was for you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. Refreshing.
Refreshing.
Bathe in that.
I feel cleansed. Thank you.
No!
Yes.
I just love that dude on that video. If you watch it, that shows him like playing the keyboard really fast, like he's playing that crap. It's like, oh, you're playing this on the fly, huh?
I like it when he leans over and takes the breaths. Have you seen that?
He even had to put in text, I'm taking a breath when I do this, because I'm sure people watching go, what the hell's that guy doing? Now, Andy, tell us where, if people who are listening right now on Talk Radio X, they're just now listening to the show, they've just somehow stumbled upon it, they want to know, where can they hear the Hollywood Saloon? Why don't you tell them?
www.hollywoodsaloon.com.
All right. And you want to remind everyone of Hell Week?
Hell Week is in progress. Hopefully, if I can get my shit together, I'm barely sleeping and sucking down as much Mountain Dew as I can possibly handle to get it finished. We'll see what happens. I'm trying. That's the deal, is that I'm trying. I think if I can do it, I'll do it. So it's not a guaranteed done deal yet. But
I'm squirting your butt with a water hose.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Let me, Andy, I have to ask you, and I'm sorry if I have to ask you this, but I don't even want to.
Yes.
Is Bond 3 one of these shows that's going to happen?
I'll tell you after, because
we had a visitor from the future, so we know.
Yeah.
So now, when are we all going to appear on the Hollywood
Saloon? Yeah!
What would you prefer, the Bond 3 or the Stanley Kubrick Masterclass?
I'd rather...
How about none of them? Neither of them.
One thing I love about... I'll mention something about, or did you catch that show? And he's like, no. I don't even pretend that Bill ever listens to 5 minutes of my show.
I will honestly admit, I listened to the Superman Returns show all the way through and agreed with everything you said. Quite possibly the worst movie ever.
That was like a year ago. And I
I don't get a lot of time.
I listen to you every week, bitch.
No, you know what? I am going to listen to every episode you put out this week because I thoroughly enjoyed that Ghost Rider clip.
I love the Sibs you do, and I love Marvel versus DC.
I have never listened to any of the Sibs. I don't. Are those on iTunes or
no?
Hey, and by the way, I'm not a member of your special area on that forum, buddy.
The Saloon Insiders.
It was funny. Jason sent me a link to that section on the forum, and when I clicked it, it said this does not exist. And Jason's like, "Oh, you must not be a special member." And I was like, ooh.
"And I was like, and sorry, Bill, I can't speak to you any further." I know, click.
I'm not a member.
Now, can I ask Mick McCart something? Mick, Who did you listen to first, Hollywood Saloon or Nowhere in Mulberry?
It was Hollywood Saloon.
Son of a bitch!
But actually, Andy on the show pointed me to you guys. He said how great you guys were and how funny you guys were. So, I mean...
That's right. And I stand by that. My favorite...
And you know what? I was kidding because I already knew the answer. I remember the first email you ever sent us, Mick, and you said that. So it was a loaded question.
I promised to go back and listen to every episode of the Hollywood Saloon because I have listened to every episode of Captain Jolt. So it's only right that I go back and listen to every episode of the Hollywood Saloon.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
Captain Jolt is like a blast to your ass every time.
It is.
Whoa.
It is so goofy and so lighthearted and fun.
Is it kind of like this?
I'm squirting your butt with a water hose.
Absolutely.
You know what? It does. It has that feeling. Like you're getting blasted in the ass.
And you know what's awesome is that we've all been a part of Captain Jolt. What was my character's name?
Fungi Flips Dugan.
That's a wet diaper full of shit or something like that.
You know what? Hey, Mick, Steven has not been a part of it. Steven's very hurt he hasn't been on Captain Jolt.
Mick, more than I want for the Hollywood Saloon or Nowhere Mulberry, we need to have Captain Jolt hats and shit. Where the hell is that stuff?
I'd wear it.
Honestly, if you go on the website, you can go to Cafe Press and order it.
And what is the website again, Mick?
It is CaptainJolt.com.
All right.
Do you get any residuals from that Cafe Press?
Let's see. I've had the website about 5 years, and nobody's ordered anything.
Really? I'll be the first.
Very nice press, actually.
Awesome.
I'll order tonight after I watch the Steeler game, which has been on for an hour and a half.
Nice. Well, you know what? Let's wrap it up then. Bill's got some football to watch. And you know what? Hey, I'll watch it too if it's in high def. We'll
bring
right,
a conclusion
Bill?
To the longest episode ever.
Yes, it is. Hey, we filled our 2-hour quota on Talk Radio X, did we not?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And just remember this.
I'll never manage to stop looking at her boobs.
Yes. Thank you, Mick McCart. Thank you, Andy Sims of the Hollywood Saloon.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Norm Mulberry.
Yes, sir. And see you next week, everybody. We love you. Much love. And
bye-bye.
Peace out. And every other cliche I can think of.
Dark out.
There she is, topless. So she's topless. She was completely topless.
I cannot fathom.
Now this is podcasting.